Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue talking today about this week, which is a week in which we celebrate All Saints Day. That'll happen tomorrow, where the church sets aside this solemnity. It's a beautiful day to honor the saints that are known and those that we don't know. I mean, we have those that are known are those who the church has canonized and recognized, but we know that heaven is full of lots of other saints. Maybe your parents, maybe your grandparents, maybe a neighbor, somebody you know, but we celebrate the saints because it's a day of victory, really. It's a victory celebration that they've made it home and they're with the Lord. It should be a day and a week for us of tremendous encouragement because this is the point of your life and mine. To make it home, to be able to enter into the communion of saints. I mean, we're already part of the communion of saints because we're united with them in Jesus here in the church militant, but the day's coming, hopefully, when we will enter into the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the saints are cheering us on, they're praying for us, and they're witnessing to us and telling us it's possible. You know, I think sometimes we are our worst enemy because we have these negative ways of thinking. Maybe the way St. Paul, the last few days we've been talking about the passages from Ephesians chapter 4, where he talks about a darkened mind. Sometimes our mind is our worst enemy because we don't think with a renewed mind, and having a darkened mind can sound like this. God's grace somehow, yeah, I know God loves me and I know that he forgives, but look, the sins I've committed are just like unforgivable. Maybe our mind and heart were full of self-condemnation, self-rejection, self-hatred. We project onto God maybe something we've heard and inherited in our own family that's negative, a negative way of understanding and looking at ourselves. Maybe we're thinking that we have to make it all happen. We have to earn our relationship with God, and we're in a constant state of discouragement because we always fall short. We don't have hope. We don't have a lot of confidence in faith. Maybe we look at God the Father as not a loving Father. Maybe we see God the Father as primarily a distant judge or someone who's indifferent, projecting onto God something from our own life experience. And when we have these negative habit patterns of thinking, which really can become strongholds that dominate the way we relate to ourselves and to God, it cripples our capacity to be able to respond to the grace that God wants to give us. To become children of God. It steals the joy in this journey. It steals the hope and the confidence and the will to have courage to do great things for God and to have a big heart, to have a magnanimous heart. The devil wants to steal all of that by lying to us and getting us to believe lies about ourselves, or lies about God and our relationship with him. Look, God the Father, there's no one who's in your corner more than God the Father. God is love. He made you out of love, for love, to live with him forever. He loves you in a way that you've never even imagined. And you're lovable because God loves you. You're valuable because God values you. And he values you so much that he sent his son to die for you. And he came to you because you were like me. You were dead in your sins. You were sin sick. You were weak. You were inconsistent. You had vices and sins and bad habits, and you failed in many ways. Well, welcome to the human race. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. That's you and that's me. He didn't come to say, where are the perfect? He came to literally seek those who are desperately in need of a spiritual physician. And that's you and that's me. He comes in love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever would believe in him would not die but have everlasting life. And Jesus Christ crucified, Jesus Christ on that cross, and Jesus Christ resurrected and reigning at the right hand of God is the proof of God's love for you. So it is, as we think about becoming saints and living in God's glory forever, We have to fight for territory in our own mind. Territory that Satan attempts to control. Because if he can control the way you think about yourself, he can control the way you're ultimately going to behave. You need to stand up to that. You need to stand up and say no. You've got a new power and a new capacity in you, friend, to live a radically new way of life. You have within you, by the grace of God, if you've been baptized into Christ, you have within you the power to literally become a saint. And in this world, it's a matter of what you do with what you've got from God's point of view. What do I mean by that? Don't measure yourself against other people. Don't say, wow, look at how together that person is. I'm a wreck. I'll never get there, right? Every one of us has a different starting point. We're born into different situations. We're different kinds of people. I mean, some people are born with a tremendous, tremendous opportunities in their life. They're very healthy families, you know, solid mom, solid dad, solid family, born with lots of natural gifts, born with maybe a quiet disposition, whatever it is, whatever gifts and talents might be there, and just kind of the way they're put together. Life looks for people like that to be quite easy, or that they're so much further down the road. Just remember this. God knows exactly who you are. He knows the starting point we each have. He knows what we're up against. And it's all a matter of what we do with what God has given to us. Don't measure yourself against the Super Bowl winner. Don't measure yourself against, you know, the smartest guy in your class or the most successful, kind, generous, financially generous person on your block. I mean, just don't even go there. Who are you before God? God knows you. God knows the real you. He knows the baggage you began with. He knows the life you grew up in, the home you grew up in, and what you experienced there. And he's not judging you. He's cheering you on. And every step you make, every little tiny decision in your heart, that each day you're saying yes to God. When you say no to temptation, you say no to anger, you say no to lust, right? You say no to lying or cheating or greed, whatever it is. And you say yes to him. When those thoughts emerge and you begin to be tempted and you summon the grace of God and you say no and you push that stuff back, your Father rejoices. Those little battles really matter. And guess what? The truth is, the ones who God considers great are the saints. And the saints often in this world are never recognized. What's recognized in this world is the silly, silly scale of success that essentially the enemy has put together. You know, be powerful, be sexy, be rich, be influential, be the center of the party, make sure you push your brand out in front of everybody else's. Life on earth is a zero-sum game, get as much as you can, all that stuff. That's all a big lie. It's totally destructive, it's a lie. It's demonic in its core. Jesus is the standard of success. Our Lady Mary is the standard of success in terms of how she responded to God. The saints are for us the measure. And you become a saint by God's grace. Right? God can make you into what you see in the saints. That's his intention. That's what he will do. And in this world, in this life, if you die before you're completed, before you get to Teresa of Lisieux or whoever, if you die in Christ, believing in him, trusting in him, living in his truth the best you can, by the grace that you've been given, you're on the way. And he's going to complete it after you pass. He will present you perfect to the Father. That's his commitment. He didn't say be perfect, you perfect yourself. He didn't say that. He said be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And how do we become perfect? We cooperate with God's saving work in us. And we surrender to Jesus. We invite him to be Lord. We live under his lordship. We trust in him. Jesus, we trust in you. And we let him perfect us. We cooperate with his work in us. And he is determined to present us perfect before God. So we've been looking at Ephesians chapter 4. This week we'll look at it again, maybe tomorrow. And the day after as well. Paul gives us the grand picture of putting off the old man, putting on the new man. Now in verse 25, he begins to drill down a little bit and talk more specifically about what it means to put on the new man, how to live the new way of life. He says, therefore, putting away falsehood, so lying and falsehood, I can't stop thinking of the Brett Kavanaugh hearing when I think about this. But anyway, let everyone speak the truth with his neighbor. This is what's required of a disciple. Put off lying, put off falsehood, deception, and speak the truth with those around us. Why? Because everybody who is made, every human being, was made to know the truth and to live the truth and to order one's life according to the truth. So to speak falsehood, to lie, is to deceive, is to try to get somebody to believe something that isn't true and maybe order their life to it. So it's not good. For we are members of one another. Now he's talking here about the body of Christ. It's different than the world. He goes on to say, be angry, but don't sin. Be angry, but don't sin. Now, anger is an emotion, is a drive. It's something in us that is God-given. And anger, rightly ordered, can help us overcome all kinds of obstacles, right? And anger against unrighteousness, anger against, you know, dishonoring God and the things of God. We need more people like that. It's like Senator Lindsey Graham. I thought there was righteous anger when he was defending Kavanaugh in terms of the gross way in which he was being treated. There was righteous anger in him. But Paul says, be angry, but don't sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Here's a really good principle, something Debbie and I, our family, have tried to live, to say, okay, you're going to get angry. You're going to get angry at your spouse. You're going to get angry with your kids. You're going to get angry with your neighbor. But don't cultivate, don't keep nurturing anger, you might say. Acknowledge it. Say, what's going on here? What am I angry about? Has somebody wronged me in some way? Is there something that has to be straightened out? Make sure you do whatever you can, especially in your marriage and your family. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. That's a way of saying, don't let the anger remain in you, because that anger can turn to bitterness. And then that bitterness can turn to just a bitter root that'll kill you. And you have to be really careful with anger. And the Holy Spirit, St. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, I think, he said, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. How does it relate to this? Well, anger, and the exercise of anger, is a deed of the body. And we're called, as Paul says, as Christians, to exercise anger without sinning. Our old man wants to get even, wants to, you know, seek revenge, all of that. How do we get over that? Especially if you just have an anger problem, through the grace of the Holy Spirit. You seek God, you ask God for grace, you surrender to what you know is the truth, knowing the Holy Spirit will help you do that. And the Holy Spirit will help you subdue the drives of the flesh that are inconsistent with God's plan. He wants to change your heart. And so exercising faith, expecting the help of the Holy Spirit, leaning on the Holy Spirit, confessing your sins when you fail, and getting right back up and moving forward, that's the way to go. Friends, I hope you can tune in again tomorrow. We're going to be celebrating the Solemnity of All Saints.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, What Happens When I Die, in which Ralph asks some very important questions. Is there life after death? What will it be like? How do my actions in this life affect what happens when I die? If you'd like a free copy of this booklet, you can go to 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.